सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Part 2 of Keno Upanishad, Mantra 1 to 5. Yadi manyase suvedeti dabrame vapi nunam tvam veta brahmano rupam yadasya tvam yadasya deveshvatanu vimamsyamevati manye viditam. Yadi manyase suvedeti dabrame vapi nunam tvam veta ब्रह्मणो रूपं यदस्य त्वं यदस्य देवेश्वतनु मीमांस्यमेवते मन्ये विदितं नाहं मन्ये सुवेदेति नो न वेदेति वेद च यो नस्तद्वेद तद्वेद नो न वेदेति वेद च नाहं मन्ये सुवेदेति नो न वेदेति वेद च यो नस्तद्वेद तद्वेद नो न वेदेति वेद च यस्य मतं तस्य मतं मतं यस्य न वेद सः अविज्ञातं विजानतां विज्ञातम अविजानतां यस्य मतं तस्य मतं मतं यस्य न वेद सः अविज्ञातं विजानतां विज्ञातम अविजानतां प्रतिबोध विदितं मतममृतत्वं हि विन्दते आत्मना विन्दते वीर्यं विद्यया विन्दते मृतं प्रतिबोध विदितं मतममृतत्वं हि विन्दते आत्मना विन्दते वीर्यं विद्यया विन्दते मृतं इह चेदवेदीदत सत्यमस्ति न चेदिहावेदीन् महती विनष्टिः भूतेषु भूतेषु विचित्रधीराः प्रेत्यास्मा लोकादमृता भवन्ति इह चेदवेदीदत सत्यमस्ति न चेदिहावेदीन्महती विनष्टिः भूतेषु भूतेषु विचित्य धीराः प्रेत्यास्मा लोकादमृता भवन्ति। In the first part of Keno Upanishad, the Shishya wanted to know about the pure consciousness. Is it an independent entity or is it a part of the matter or is it a product of the matter? Then the Guru replied saying, it is an independent satyam. It is not dependent on this matter. The matter is dependent on the satyam. It is the source from which every material equipments draw its vitality. It cannot be reached by any of the equipments, whether sense organs of perception, sense organs of action, pranas, mind, intellect, nothing can reach divinity. Divinity is the source. It is not what you people worship here. It is that which makes you see, not what you see. It is that which makes you hear, not what you hear. It is that which makes you speak, not what you speak. It is that which makes you breathe, not what you breathe. It is that which makes you feel, not what you feel. It is that which makes you think, not what you think. All this he explained. That alone is Brahman, not what you people worship here. Whatever you worship here in this world is at the body level, mind level, intellect level. It's a manifestation. It's not the entire reality. It is saguna, whereas Brahman is nirguna, attributeless. All this he discussed. So then in part 2, the beginning, Guru cautions the Shishya. If you think I know well, you know perhaps very little indeed, which means you don't know. If you try to capture it through thoughts, you cannot know the truth. It is that which enlivens the thoughts. You cannot capture it with thoughts. It's not possible to capture it in thoughts. A lot of us try to capture the truth in thoughts. But the interesting thing here, in the fourth shloka, which we will do today, he's going to explain certain other interesting thing. So what we need to understand is, it is not by through thoughts you can't grasp the truth, but by inquiring on the thoughts, you can arrive at the truth. That we will discuss it in verse number 4. But all he wants to say is, if you try to think that the truth is object and you can capture it with thoughts, you cannot. So if you say, I know, then it's like knowing any object, like knowing this phone. Then the object known is object and you are the subject. Whereas here in this knowledge of the self, the knower and the known merges. So therefore he says, if you think I know well, you perhaps know very little. You don't know. The form of Brahman you have known relates to that of gods. Therefore now that which is to be known, I think, is still to be ascertained by you. So you have to know the truth subjectively. Don't try to capture it objectively with your thoughts or with your perceptions, actions, emotions. Once the guru gives this caution, the Shishya who's actually known the truth as a subject, who's merged with it, he's clarifying. He says, I do not think I know well. I can't say I know well because it's not an object. Not that I do not know. I know for certain. Not that I do not know, meaning I can't even say I don't know. Already the guru had taught us in the first part that the truth is beyond the known and the unknown. So it is neither the known, so I can't know it, nor is it unknown. The unknown can be known in future, but this is not something that you can ever know as an object. It's not an object, it's a subject. Therefore he says, I cannot say I know, nor can I say I don't know. Why? Because I know it very well. I know it certainly, he says. I know it for certain. As what? As my own truth, my own self. So he amongst us who knows that. In this line there is no confusion. So not only he says about himself, he says the others in the class, those who know, they know. He amongst us who does not know thus, he also knows. Even the person who doesn't know also knows. This is the confusion. This requires little explanation, which is what we were talking last week. Even those who do not know, know means what? What it means is, those who are not knowing about the fact that they are actually the truth, even though they do not know, the fact that they are the truth doesn't change. So, that example, that story that Swamiji gives explains it very well. A courier guy had to deliver a courier packet to a gentleman and he had gone to his house in the evening. Or rather to his office in the evening by the time the office was shut. He said, next day morning, let me deliver the courier. So next day when he, by the time before he goes, next time the previous evening, goes to the park with his family. And there they meet another family and they become friends there. They spend some time together playing and all that. And they introduce each other with a surname. He didn't know the first name. He introduced the surname. And then next day he goes to deliver the parcel, then he finds that the very same man he met the previous evening at the park, the same guy who is the manager. Had he known this, he would have delivered the courier previous day itself. So now, when he says, I don't know him, he already knew him. What was the problem there? He knows that guy, but he didn't know that is the guy to whom he has to deliver the courier. He is the same guy that he didn't know. So the same way, you are the truth. You are just ignorant about it. This is what the Upanishad is putting it in this way. So the student is also playing on the word know, not know and all that. He's just playing in those words to explain that I know the truth as the subject and not as the object. Now, I think only these two verses we did. So let's go to verse number 3. Yasya matam tasya matam matam yasya na vedasaha. Yasya matam tasya matam matam yasya na vedasaha avijnatam vijanatam vijnatam avijanatam अविज्ञातं विजानतां विज्ञातं अविजानतां यस्य मतं तस्य मतं मतं यस्य न वेदसः अविज्ञातं विजानतां विज्ञातं अविजानतां. Now he is talking generally. He says, whosoever does not comprehend that, he knows that. Whosoever comprehends that, he knows not. What he means is, those amongst us who is comprehending the self with the intellect, he actually doesn't know. He or she doesn't know. And whosoever comprehends that, he knows not. Whosoever does not comprehend, he knows. Meaning, one who doesn't know it objectively, they know it. One who doesn't know objectively only knows. One who knows it objectively doesn't. That's all he's saying. All these words are very confusing. Whosoever does not comprehend it knows that. Whosoever does not comprehend it with the intellect. That's what it means. Whosoever doesn't know it as an object, they know it as a subject. And whosoever comprehends that, he knows not. Whosoever has captured it in the intellect, they don't know that. That is unknown to those who comprehend. That is known to those who do not comprehend. The same concept now is talking generally. So the third mantra is almost a repetition where he's talking about others in the class also. Second mantra is about himself. And then the third mantra, he says, even the others in the class, he says, if they say they are comprehending the truth, they don't know. If they say that we are not comprehending the truth, then they know. What he is trying to say is, he is not trying to say that the others who are not comprehending are ignorant. Others who are not comprehending are knowledgeable, but they are not comprehending it externally. That's all he says. So in this three shlokas, three mantras, all that the Upanishad is saying is, truth is not an object of comprehension, it is a subjective apprehension. If it is a subjective apprehension, you cannot think of the truth. But then, does it mean that the thoughts are entirely useless? No. In fact, the thoughts are very useful. For what? For you to analyze and remove the thoughts so that what remains is the truth. So those who are trying to capture the truth, intellectually they don't know the truth. They are just playing with words. Especially when it comes to the Sanskrit and all that, there's too much of, playing with words. So they keep playing with words. They don't know the truth. So they are reveling at the thought level. See, what happens is, when your mind and intellect tunes up quite a bit to that frequency, you get some kind of experience. But you should not understand that experience itself as yours. You can't capture the self. The problem is you are still experiencing it. So the experiencer also should merge. Then that is called the truth. Therefore, in this whole section, this is what the Guru wants to say. Now, the fourth and fifth mantra are very important mantras also. Especially the fourth mantra. Now, the fourth mantra, first he talks about how to do the vichara, inquiry. That he talks about. Then, the sadhana he talks about. Then he talks about the result of Brahma Jnana. What happens when you gain this Brahma Vidya? The fruit, the palam. All these three he talks in verse number 4, mantra 4. Pratibodha viditam matam amritatvam hi vindate. Pratibodha viditam matam amritatvam hi vindate. Atmana vindate viryam vidyaya vindate mritam. Atmana vindate viryam vidyaya vindate mritam. Pratibodha viditam matam amritatvam hi vindate. ఆత్మనా విందతే వీర్యం విద్యయా విందతే మృతం ప్రతిబోధ విదితం మతం అమృతత్వం హి విందతే. Indeed, one attains immortality, amrutatva. Mrita means that, amrita means immortal. Indeed, one attains immortality by awaring the consciousness through every experience. That's what it means. Prati means every. Prati dinam, you say every day. So, prati bhoda. Bhoda means experience. Now, where is the experience actually happening? Anybody? Where is experience finally recognized?
In our own mind.
In your own mind. So, therefore, pratibodha means every experience, no doubt. And where is experience happening? At that thought mind. So what he is saying is that mind has to be put as an object of scrutiny, inquiry. By inquiring the thoughts, you will reach the immortality. So in other words, the way to gain the truth is not in the books. That's very interesting. That's why I said Upanishads are very tough. The Upanishad is saying, you can't find it outside. Finally, you've got to subject your thoughts to scrutiny, to inquiry. So it says, indeed one attains immortality by becoming aware of the consciousness through every experience. So, when we say, now I'm talking, the sound is going through your ears, and then in your mind, you experience that word. Finally, in your mind, you are experiencing the word. The word is Chetana Tattvam or Achetana Tattvam. Is it sentient or insentient by itself? The word. Anybody? Word per se, is it sentient or insentient? Anybody there? I can't see anybody, so I don't know what's up.
The answer.
We are here.
Yes. Insentient. The mind decides.
Correct. Insentient. Shweta said insentient. But she's saying it very
softly.
You know,
this is non-committally.
No, no. If I heard it and it was correct, then yes, Shweta said it. If I heard it and it was not correct, then she did say it. In that sense, she said.
Non-committal.
Very non-committal. But what you said is correct. Word is insentient and the thought per se is insentient. Thought per se is matter. You understand? But when the thought is, when the knowledge strikes the thought, when the awareness strikes the thought, then you say, I know. Thought per se is insentient. Are you with me? Thought per se is not sentient. Thought per se is insentient. And thought is something that comes and goes. It's not eternal. Thought perishes. Thought changes. Whereas the consciousness doesn't change. You say, I am having various experiences, I know of various experiences, I know of many thoughts, but the knowledge is only one. Thoughts are many, but the knowledge is only one. The knowing principle is only one. You understand? See, if in your roof, if there is a small hole, through that hole, when the light passes, sunlight passes through that hole, you won't see the light. But if you are sweeping the floor and some dust particles are rising, and when they are dust particles, when they rise and they come in contact with the beam of light, and suddenly now you will see the beam clearly. Why? The light per se cannot be seen. When it reflects through the dust particle, you see it. Are you with me? So, similarly, thought per se is insentient. When the light strikes the thought, you say, I know. When the light strikes the ignorance, you say, I don't know. When the light strikes the thought, you say, I know. When the light strikes the ignorance, you say, I don't know. Various knowledges are known by that one knowing principle only. One knowing principle is behind every thought. That's why one of the Mahatmas, when they asked him where to find the truth, he said, look between two thoughts. The moment thought comes, the truth is compromised. And between two thoughts, the pure consciousness is there. But the problem with us is the moment thought comes, we get dragged by it. Our attention goes external. When you see an object, when I show you this phone, your mind goes to that phone and that's it. But you got to know that behind all the thoughts, there is only one consciousness. That's what he's saying. Prati bodha viditam matam amrutatvam hi vindate. By enquiring upon each and every thought and understanding that the thought is something that is matter and it is insentient, it is something that comes and goes, it has a beginning and an end, it is perishable, it is changing, and thoughts are many, but consciousness is only one. The consciousness is not that which comes and goes. The consciousness is always there. The problem with us is, we think we are the thoughts. So now my question to you is, I think therefore am I. Therefore I am. Is that correct? I think therefore I am. Is that correct? Even when I am not thinking, I am. Right? I am. And in me the thoughts rise and dissolve. This is the difference between the jnani and the ajnani. Jnani thinks I am there because I am thinking. I associate my ajnani thinks like this. Ajnani thinks I am thinking, therefore I am. Now, even in your deep sleep, the thoughts were there. If it was not there, the string of connection will not be there. It is all there in your memory, isn't it? But behind that memory, the person who is aware of it is there. That is the consciousness. So therefore, to know the truth, you need to really scrutinize your experience. But the problem is you want to experience the truth. No. To know the truth, you need to scrutinize your thoughts. But the problem is you want to know the truth at the thought level. That's not possible. Thoughts are useful. The moment you do this analysis, then you negate the thoughts by saying these are matter. But there is something that makes you conscious of the thought. That consciousness am I. Are you with me? So to know the truth, you need to subject your own experience as, you should learn from your experience. You should grasp it in your experience. But unfortunately, what you do is, you try to find it in books. You can't find it in the books. The guru using the books will tell you to go to your experience. Before the experience, the consciousness is there. During the experience, the consciousness is there. After the experience, the consciousness is there. consciousness, the knowing principle is always there. It is never not there. Therefore, he says, you got to question your own experience, your own thoughts. That's the idea. So, he says, each and every experience become aware. The experience, you are experiencing a particular object. Finally, where are you experiencing it? In your head. Right? The object comes through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. They go to the mind. And then you're experiencing it. You could have not experienced it if the Atma is not enlivening it. But the moment Atma enlivens it, you become aware of the thought. And you get lost in the thought. Instead, if you capture in the thought, what? Instead of getting lost in the thought, capture there. It's not that you are capturing the truth in the thought. By subjecting the thoughts to scrutiny, you grasp the truth. So you negate the thoughts. So that's what he says. Thus, when you negate, what remains is Amritatva. That pure consciousness is Amrita. There is no birth, no death. It is eternal. It's always there. It never comes and goes. It doesn't perish. It doesn't change. It is always there. It is Satyam. It is Nitya. That truth is your original nature. So, you reach that Amritatva. As long as you live in your thoughts, you will consider yourself to be limited with death, mrita. The moment you scrutinize the thought, you understand that you are not the one who is born, you are not the one who is going to die. You become immortal. Then he says, Atmana vindate viryam. Through one's self, one attains power. Atmana vindate viryam. Vidyaya vindate amrutam. Through one's own self, one attains power. Through knowledge, one attains immortality. Now, right now what I am going to explain to you is not there given in the book by Swamiji. What is given in the book by Swamiji also will discuss. But I am saying something else. You will not find it in this commentary. Atmana. Atmana means not the mind here. Not the Atma here. It is the mind, the little self. You see in Swamiji's commentary also, he puts the self with small s, not capital S. Atmana vindate viryam. So, you will attain viryam, strength, power, shakti through conquering the mind. With that shakti, you will be able to gain vidya. And with that vidya, you will gain immortality. Are you getting it? Therefore, self-realization is not for weak fellows. Self-realization is not for weak fellows. So, shakti. Now, what shakti is he talking about? Manobalam. Manobalam. Yitendriyam. Buddhimatam. Varishtam. Marutatulya Vegam. We talk about Lord Hanuman. Lord Hanumanji. Manobalam. That's not mental strength. Single focus on Lord Rama. He has not got any distraction whatsoever. Instead of Lord Hanumanji, if any one of us were sent to meet Sitama and give the information and come back, we would have not done what Hanumanji did. Because on the way, when he's flying, a mountain Rakshasi swells. And she says, enjoy all the bounty here in this mountain, then go. He says, listen, I'm going for a purpose. Let me finish that. When I come back, I will enjoy. That mano bhalam means what? The mind which is in single focus, not in too many strands. For us, it's too many strands, isn't it? Goes here also, it goes there also, everywhere it goes. Too many strands. That means the mind is weak. It needs so many things for it to be calm. See, when somebody tries to bribe you, you don't fall for 10 rupees. You don't fall for 50 rupees. You don't fall for 50,000. You don't fall for 1 crore. You probably may not fall for 50 crores also. But 50,000 crores, suddenly you will say, yeah, thodasa wait karo. I'll talk about this Vedanta in the agle, you know, next janma. What about this 50,000 crores? You know. So, what does it show? It shows that your inside is lacking so much that you can become stable only with that 50,000 crores. Which means internally you are actually weak. The converse is not true. If somebody has 50,000 crores, doesn't mean he is weak. But if somebody is dependent on that 50,000 crores, that means they are weak. Are you getting it? The more you are dependent on, wanting is there, you are very, very weak. That's what it means. You need to have some 5 vacations in a year. And that is not there, then you feel like, yeah, I wasted my life.
No, Guruji, this year no vacation. That's to go
away. I know. But do you feel, and I say do you, I don't mean you, anybody. If you feel that this 1 year has gone waste because you could not go anywhere, means your mind is weak. For a weak person, the conquest of self is not possible. She says, Atmana vindate vijaya. The conquest of mind brings shakti. Now, there is some kind of a shakti we get when we have wealth, money. You know? With that money we feel, yeah, I have money. The way people walk only is something else. People who are salaried, the first 10 days their walk is different. The last 10 days is very, very different. The body language. The payday, tremendous confidence. So, there is some kind of a shakti you get from money. There is some kind of a shakti you get from people. I know the commissioner of police. I know the chief minister. I know this person. I know that person. There is some kind of a shakti you get from that. Similarly, you get some shakti from food. Similarly, you get some kind of shakti from exercise. Similarly, you get some kind of a shakti by prana control. So, various shaktis. But all these shaktis are really not real shakti. The real shakti is what? What is the real shakti? When you become independent to all these shaktis. That is mind control. So therefore he says, Atmana Vindate Viryam. One gains Viryam by conquering the mind. So first, if you want to know the truth, you should conquer the mind. But without conquering the mind, we just go on reading. Get it. You are intellectually understanding the truth. You only know it objectively. You don't know anything subjective. Actually, if you understand this Upanishad fully now, you will say, sir, let us stop all the classes. And I am indirectly suggesting that. What I am trying to say is not, don't take it literally. What I mean is, the study, reflection and all these are important. But what is necessary is, you need to scrutinize your own experience. What I have been doing. One thought after another thought after another thought, I have been indulging all this while. And tremendous, every thought is an opportunity to know the truth. Every thought is an opportunity to know the truth. But every thought I have missed. How sad it is. See, sunlight is falling on the object. Right? So therefore, in other words, the object is reflecting the sunlight. Correct? When there is no reflecting medium, you can't see the light. So when you are traveling in space, if there is no object, it will be dark. The reflecting medium is there. When the reflecting medium is there, the sun is reflected through that reflecting medium, then you see the object. Am I right? Now, when that happens, what happens to us generally now? We get lost in the object. Ah, beautiful Ganeshji. A beautiful peacock. A beautiful this, beautiful that. So every time you are seeing something, it's an opportunity to say Hari Om. Every time you are hearing something, it's an opportunity to say Hari Om. Every perception, every feeling, every emotion, every thought, is an opportunity to be aware of the divinity. But we let go of all those opportunities and we got lost in the perception, action, emotions and thoughts. So, why? Because our mind is weak. The mind is weak, it gets distracted. But when the mind is strong, it doesn't get distracted. All this Shakti that comes from wealth, from health, from food, from exercise, from contact, from this, from that, everything is temporary, passing and fleeting. By knowing that through Viveka Shakti, you develop Vairagya. That Vairagya is the real, real, real Shakti. The mind which is pure and the mind which is able to focus on the higher. That mind if you have, you have Shakti. So by conquering the mind, you develop strength. So really speaking, the strength is in not being dependent on anything. The strength is in giving. Strength is not in taking. But a human being, majority, is selfish. Majority of human being is selfish. They don't know this joy that is there in giving. They only know the joy in taking. It's a very paltry joy. We can't let go. There are people who just cannot spend because their power, their shakti is in retaining the money. And finally they are highly agitated because they are going to give it to somebody else and go away. You can't hold on to it for long. Either it will leave you or you will have to leave it and go. That's the truth. But their mind is so attached. So that detachment is the real shakti. That's what he's saying. Atmana vindate. Knowing the truth about all this as temporary and passing and fleeting, you drop it, you leave it. That kind of a person is the only one who is qualified to climb the inner mountain called the self. So it's a very important prerequisite. To drop everything and be with the guru and not ask how long. How long, sir? Okay, sir, I'll drop everything and come, but how long? The moment you're asking how long means you have a condition. You don't have the strength. You just need to continue however long it may take. So that reliance on oneself is our reliance on the external factors. These are not real strength. One who has conquered the mind through oneself alone, one attains power. So when you put in effort and you bring focus. See, Patanjali Muni also says, Chitta Vritti Niruddham Yoga. Yoga is when your thoughts are not distracted but focused. That's yoga. When you bring your mind to focus, then you can attain Atma. Chitta Vritti Niruddham Yoga. So therefore, how do you know the truth? You've got to know the truth in and through your experiences. It is not an experience, but through the experiences you've got to know it. And who can know it? How to know it? By practicing sadhana of controlling the mind. Your mind is not under control. Your mind is not having the ability to focus. You cannot know the truth. So therefore he said, Atmana Vindate Divya. One who is able to retain the Shakti, Virya. With that Shakti, Viveka Shakti and Vairagya Shakti, Viveka is analyzing the truth and the untruth. Having analyzed, you negate the untruth and identify with the truth. And there is Shakti in that. Relying on yourself, there is a Shakti. Self-reliance is a real Shakti. Atmana Vindate Virya. Such a person who has Vairagya can gain Vidya. Through that Vidya, Vidyaya Vindate Mritam. It's a two-step. So when you lack Atma Shakti, you will be easily distracted by the world, distracted by the thought. If you don't have Atma Shakti, if you have Atma Shakti, you will not be easily distracted. But if you have Atma Shakti, if you don't have Atma Shakti, you will be easily distracted. So therefore he says, first bring in that Atma Shakti, focus. Not possible for a person who doesn't have focus. Then you, with focus, scrutinize your thoughts. Then analyze. Thought per se is constantly changing. That which comes and goes, it is insentient. It is endless, many. And it gives sukha and dukkha. But the pure consciousness, Atma, is exactly opposite of all this. It is nitya. It's nirvikara, it's not savikara. Savikara means that which is changing. It is nirvikara. It is eternal, nitya. It is the real source. So the moment I gain that vairagya, with that vairagya, I'll be able to see correctly. If I don't have that vairagya, I will not be able to see it correctly. I can talk and all that nicely, but the moment I am in front of the object of my desire, I'm finished. So the Upanishad says, just get back to conquering the mind. Just go and conquer the mind. How do you conquer the mind? That Upanishad doesn't say. Upanishad has no time for all that. Upanishad, you will know to conquer the mind through karma yoga. Predominantly karma yoga and bhakti. And to the extent you have got the control of the senses and the mind, then you can gain the knowledge. Even if you read the book to understand it correctly, you need strength. So you need the capacity to focus and you need the capacity to digest. Both the strengths of the mind are very important. Such a mind, when it applies itself in the field, then that mind clearly sees the Atma as a witness. So it says, Vidyaya Vindate Mritam. Through Vidya, he attains immortality. So who should be given Vidya? One who has mind control. Now, if that is what is the criteria, none of us will be able to sit in the class. He says, for gaining Vidya, you need Vairagya. See, it's actually both. To the extent you have got Viveka Shakti, to that extent you have Vairagya. Vairagya means not being attached to anything the world can offer. Then you say, come what may, I am going. Otherwise, I can listen to this later. Anyway, it's being recorded. So the mind is not really interested in it. See, there's a cousin brother of mine who's gone into Vaishnava Tattvam. So, he had taken what is called as Prapatti in Vaishnava, which is Sharanagati, surrender. He took it from a guru. He's not born in a Brahmin family, obviously. So, he had contacted a Swami who was a Brahmin and he had taken the Prapatti from him. So, when he first contacted, he just told the Swami on the phone that I am interested in taking Prapatti, means Sharanagati. So the Swami was a jnani. So he said, Acha, you want Prapatti? Theek hai, call me after a week. And I can't tell you right now, but you call me after a week. Exactly on this date you call, this time. So he said, okay. And exactly on that day he called and then the Swami said, yeah, I thought you were probably not interested. That's why I told you like this. But you seem to be really interested. You're still calling me again. I come back. Come to me on that day. We went there. There were quite a few people who were taking Prapatti from him. Initiation, surrender, let us say. So what that Swami was doing is first testing whether this fellow is really interested. You know? If you are only developed to be able to grasp the 6th standard maths, you can't be put in 8th standard, right? That concept has to first become clear to you. So first you have to be clear as to where the truth is not. Otherwise, the things in which the truth is not can still attract you. That's the problem. That's the problem. The thing that you, that is distracting you, needs to be given up. And what is that? The world, the objects, the thoughts. You need to understand that they are all passing and fleeting and perishable. Should not have an exaggerated value for it. So the whole thing will change. See, truth will reveal itself to you when you want it at all levels. At the level of the body, at the level of the mind, at the level of the intellect. Truth will not reveal itself to you till you want it like that. In fact, many of us are really not interested in the truth. Swamiji talks about the story of two sages, sage A, sage B. Both of them were meditating in Himalayas to realize the self. Narad Muni was going to heaven. On his way, he was in Himalaya. He saw these two saints meditating. He said, I'm going to meet Mahavishnu. When I come back, would you like to know anything from him? Both of them said, yes. Please find out how many more janmas he has. Who is the self? So he found out from the Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu has said, sage A is realizing this janma, sage B has thousands of janmas left. He came and said exactly Uda. So sage A, who is realizing in that janma itself, he said, you see the tamarind tree there? The tamarind tree has small leaves. The number of leaves in the tree is the number of janmas you have got to realize the self. He says this to KJ. Who is realizing this janma? KJ says, oh, thank you very much. At least now it's come to a finite number. This is what KJ says. Sage B, who is not realizing this janma, he has got many janmas. He says, this janma you realize. Oh, are you sure? This janma? Oh my God. This new movie is released in Amazon Prime. Let me watch that and then come. Before that, I hope I don't realize this. We really do not. If you really want it now, you will get it right now. When you do not want it, you will search for it in the books. When you really do not want it, you will search for it everywhere else. And that keeps you busy. And that, you know, what do you call that? That caters to your ego. Hey, he reads a lot of books. He reads only those kind of books. Oh my God, he's read this book, he's read that book. He doesn't know the truth. Upanishad says. Because he's so caught up in the books, where does he have the time to look within? It's sulabha. There's a story, it's just popular in South India. It's not that much popular in North India, I don't know why. It's about the Shiva Parvati Kutumba, you know. Narad Muni brings a mango. It's called the fruit of jnana. He brings that mango, only one he brings. And he says that mango should not be shared. One fellow only should eat and he will get the jnana. And he gives it to Lord Shiva and says, give it to one of your children. Ganesh Ji and Lord Subramanya. One of them. So now what to do? How can he give one? So he says, okay, whosoever goes around the world and comes first, they will get this. Immediately, Lord Subramanya sits on his vehicle, which is peacock, and starts flying, goes around the world. And Ganesh Ji has a vehicle, which is mouse. How can he go in that, around the world fast? So he asks, isn't parents equal or more to the world? Yes. Narad Muni said yes. So he goes around the parents and gets the fruit. By the time Lord Subramanya comes, Ganesh is already having the fruit. So it is very sulabha. The source is here. But we will go around the world. When we are going around the world, see, it's very interesting, you know. If we really get it effortlessly, we will not believe it. You have to do something and then when you get it, then you feel, ah, I've done something. So the joy is there in it more because you have done and got it. This, in the case of self-realization, that has to go. I must achieve it. I must put in effort and achieve it. This is the problem. So through all the efforts that we are putting in, we need to understand that to gain the Atma, we don't have to do anything. Just be ourselves. But then, usme maja nahi na. When I study the books, and I take notes, and I do this, and I do that, wow, the schedule is following a schedule. See, all this I'll say in Upanishad class, not in Gita class. Because this is only said for that fellow who's already been putting in effort. You say this to a Tamasic fellow, he says, yeah, he's been saying this only, sit down, kao, piyo, maja karo, so jao. I mean, the teacher is also saying, weak, just relax here. Yeah. You are Atma already. He'll take it like that. No. For a Tamasic fellow, you have to say, go, work hard, struggle, do this, do that. Then a fellow who's been running around, he says, what are you doing? For what are you, all this you're doing? To be happy. Why can't you be sitting back and be happy? To that fellow, you have to say this. Fellow who is sitting and already watching TV, don't tell this. A fellow who is not even having time to sit and watch TV, because he's going on running, collecting. And you tell, why are you doing all this? So that I can sit down and relax. Why don't you sit right now and relax? To that fellow, you have to say. Are you getting it? That's what the Upanishad is saying. Upanishad is saying, the effort is in taking the mind away from the self. Taking the mind away from the world. Once you take the mind away from the world, the self is found within. But what we are doing is, in the name of taking the mind away from the world, we are replacing the objects of the world. With books, temples, places of worship, with all this. Then you get some kind of a satisfaction. Today I have gone to the temple and come. That's it. You will never know the truth. You are holding on to the symbols. You are holding on to the words. In Hamlet is reading a book and Polonius, the minister of Denmark, is asking Hamlet, what readest thou, my lord? Hamlet says, words, words, words. What we know is the words of the truth. The truth is beyond words. We don't know the truth. Why we do not want know the truth? Because we really do not want to know the truth. When you really want to know the truth, you will not waste your time in all these words. Truth is right now there, but you are living in your head. Be in the present. See, this is the Upanishad. Upanishad is very deep. So he says, knowledge, through knowledge one attains immortality. The moment I realize that, instantly I am immortal. I attain immortal means not that I am mortal now. I know that I have never been mortal. The thought that I am a mortal now is the stupidity. And I had a birth and I have a death. That terrifies me. The thought of birth and death, all this is madness. So, he says, knowledge gives you immortality. And that knowledge to come, the mind should become free from the world. That mind, when it becomes free from the worldly persecutions, that is the strength. So you need to really gain that strength, vairagya shakti, to be able to be without anything. See, sometimes what happens, no? Oh, this is another problem. To be able to be without anything means, sometimes you try that. Give up everything and go and sit in one place. I want to go somewhere and just be myself. There again the ego is there. What? That I can be without anything. Actually you are amongst everything, but nothing are you really attached. That's the real strength, because there is no ego there. See, the ego becomes more strong when you consciously give up things. Isn't it? I am a great giver. That itself you have to give up. Once you give up that, then you are nothing. Then the ego doesn't want to do that. That's the real shakti. Whom are you trying to protect? The false notion. With all the wealth that we earn, what are we trying to protect? This false identity. With all the contacts, what am I trying to protect? This false identity. With all my this and that, I am trying to protect this false identity. So this very thought to protect this false identity when it's false, that's the real strength. That guy is the one who is able to have the correct understanding. The guy who has the correct understanding becomes instantly immortal, because he understands that he or she is never born. The whole thing is a fake. That's why if you see in our culture, all the names, one name we have is Puja, another name we have is Mukta, another name is Sadhana. You understand? All these names we have. Lakshmi, Narayana. All the time it's about God, God, God. Something to do with this and that. The whole idea is what? You are not this what is born. So sometimes, you know, when we discuss about the retreats also, all the time we want to focus on our comforts. Even in the retreats, when you think, I'm not saying go to a place where you have to struggle for everything, but the thought, somehow we want to protect this ego. Protecting this ego, I want to know the truth. Which means what? You want to experience the truth. You can't experience the truth. So then, what do you have to do? You have to subject every experience. So the reason we go to the retreat is to subject the experience and scrutinize. But we want to make a retreat itself a great experience. This is how the mind trips you. You understand? Oh, we are a wonderful retreat. Beautiful retreat. So what? Again, it's an experience. You go there to scrutinize your experience, not to have a different experience. Do you see the difficulty? When Shweta is trying to find herself, as long as she's trying to find herself, she'll never find it. The moment she drops the finding, she arrives. But when you drop it, the ego fears. you can't let go. Generally, in an Indian household, I'm talking about the traditional Indian household, the chabi cannot be given to the bahu. There may be useless things in that cupboard, you know. Not necessarily some great things, maybe useless, but to give that, I can't. So unless I give it, I can't experience. Nenu pote povachu. All the Upanishad is. That if you can drop when you really enjoy. You really enjoy in the sense that the truth reveals itself that every second, every minute you will be happy. So therefore this whole verse, very, very important verse. Pratipodha vichitam matam. Means you will know the truth by scrutinizing every experience. Each and every experience there is divinity. When you're seeing there is divinity. When you're hearing there is divinity. But then the problem is in seeing we don't see the divinity. So what do we have to do? To go to a mountainous place, a huge mountain with all tall trees and all this. Then, wow, what a beauty, man. What a divinity. Or I have to go to the ocean and see huge waves. Then I am reminded of the divinity. Some external manifestation I need for divinity. But while the truth is there, every experience there is truth. Because the knowledge is reflected in it. In seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, feeling, thinking. In everything. So in everything there is God. Then, why am I not seeing? Because your mind is not strong. What is happening? It is dependent on the things outside. Got to make it strong. How? By making it independent. How will you make it independent? By analyzing the objects of the world and understanding that they are passing, fleeting. Read that poem, even this shall pass away again and again. Once you get that, then what happens? Mind becomes detached from the world. When the mind becomes detached from the world, then what? You will scrutinize the experience. When you scrutinize the experience, then you understand. Oh, there is something called thought. And behind the thought, there is consciousness, which is always there. Remember that example of watching a movie. How many of us have the capacity to go to the movie theater and be able to focus on the projector? I'm not saying turn the other direction and start looking at the projector. What I'm trying to say is, the film roll is revolving and it's bringing a, some kind of a reality for you, which is projected on the screen, you're getting involved. But if you're mentally aware of the projector light, due to which all these different scenes are coming up, comedy, tragedy, romantic and all that is coming up on the screen because the projector light is staying. The moment you focus on that, when can you do that? You have some shakti. If you don't have shakti, you will go along with the total. If you have shakti, you will turn. If you lack shakti, you will go along with the mass. Now everybody goes along with the mass. That's what they call as herd instinct. Everybody does that, you also do that. If you have shakti to go against, it's not that go and fight with them. You have shakti to be thinking differently. And you don't need it. Only that person arises. Everybody else knows the truth, but nobody knows. This fellow does not know the truth, he actually knows. Are you getting it? Because the truth is the internal subjective matter. It is not to be found in the external world. You cannot. Again and again, the Keno Upanishad is saying. So you've got to get up every morning, sit down and scrutinize your thoughts. Then you segregate. These thoughts is many. They come and go. They're constantly changing. It is jada. It is insentient. It is not sentient. Then consciousness is one. It's not many. It's not something that comes and goes. It is permanent. It is not changing. And it is not jada. It is sentient. So then you become aware. That awareness with no thoughts. That is consciousness. So therefore consciousness is called as objectless awareness. God is called as objectless awareness. Now, if I ask you a question, are you aware? You will say, of what? If I say, are you aware of this glass? I'm showing this glass through the camera. Are you aware of this glass? Yes, sir. I'm aware of this glass. Are you aware of my body? Yes, sir. Are you aware of this? Are you aware of that? Yes, yes, yes. But if I say, are you aware? You can't answer. You will ask, of what? You are always aware of some object or other. When you remove that object and just mere awareness, that is the truth. And the person through Viveka Shakti is able to withdraw from the world, then subject every experience to inquiry, she or she knows that. Instead, they know that they are immortal. That this body, mind, intellect is fake. The unwise think this body, mind, intellect is real. The wise know that this body, mind, intellect is fake. That's why you need Shastra. Because our experience is what is deceiving us. So when we scrutinize the experience, we come to know the truth. It's all the Upanishad. So let's conclude now. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Sayenavacha Manasendriyeva Udhyasvanava Prakriteshwabhava Romiyadya Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami. See you all next week.